Makabucha Day. Since I don't really have to talk much about Makabucha, because everybody already knows. Do all of us know what Makabucha is about? If we don't, raise our hands. He says, if you don't know, just take a look on Google. I don't need to talk about it. The important thing is to keep morality, to not sin, and to practice our hearts and minds so that they are brighter and don't fall out of a wholesome state. We have to be strong in order to fight these defilements and impurities of minds, because they're what take over and make us do something immoral. We steal their things because we're greedy. Greed has taken over the mind. It's the defilements that make us take us to do all the sins. If defilements cannot manipulate our mind, then we won't do anything wrong. So we have to know how to have sati or mindfulness and know on time, know timely, don't be fooled by whatever defilements enter our heart. And then we'll be good people. We won't break any moral codes, and we'll also have a more and more wholesome mind. When mindfulness sees the defilements, when there's craving, the craving disappears and we won't do anything wrong because of the craving. And every moment that there is mindfulness, the mind is wholesome. So we've also already created a wholesome state. When there's anger, let's have mindfulness. We won't break any moral codes or do anything bad out of anger, because the mind will become wholesome and not angry when there's mindfulness. Whenever there's something that's unwholesome and mindfulness sees it, the mind is now wholesome. When the mind is wholesome, morality, samadhi, and wisdom are following along. So any stranger that arises in the mind, let's come to see it. And it will make us understand morality better. Actually, Westerners don't understand morality very well. But we know how to be good people, but usually we don't feel like we have to have a moral code as Westerners. It's just Buddhist ethics. Actually, it was even there before Buddhism to have proper ethics. Usually, Westerners are interested in meditation. They're not interested in keeping a moral code. And wisdom, they basically have no idea about at all. Thai people can say the words morality, concentration, and wisdom, but they don't usually have it. But Westerners aren't usually interested, don't know about wisdom, don't have morality, and are just interested in the meditation. But the great thing is, if you know about correct samadhi, not just meditation, but correct samadhi, then it will help you be more moral, and it's what you need in order to gain wisdom. So it takes care of all three. When we have samadhi, our mind isn't scattered and busy. When we're sick, we take medicine. But meditation, in the way that we normally understand it, is just like taking medicine. Our mind is scattered or restless or not happy. We do some meditation and we feel better. temporarily, like taking a pill. Most people practice samadhi incorrectly. It doesn't have mindfulness integrated in it. They sit and just sort of fall into a daze, a happy little daze, wanting peace, but it's not true peace. There isn't mindfulness there. And some people are too tight, stressed when they're practicing meditation. Usually the mind is just lost in delusion, has delusion or a haze or a daze manipulating the mind, with no mindfulness. But if we have mindfulness when we're practicing meditation, it'll likely be correct. He says, maybe I should open a meditation course and ask and charge for it, make a profit like Westerners do. He's making a joke. And he says, see, Westerners, if you give it for free, they won't do it. They have to pay for it in order for them to do it. Who here thinks, oh, Buddhism is great, doing meditation is great, but I'd rather do something else? Right? See, the Westerners paid to come to this course. But you see how diligent they are and how they're really trying hard to learn? Yeah. But a lot of people practice meditation and they feel happy, they feel nice, but they're just sort of brainwashing themselves or putting their mind into a particular state or place rather than being mindful. The correct type of samadhi is one where you're just aware of your own body and mind. Like, for example, we pick something like the breath, and we're aware that the breath is moving. We're mindful. We're not lost in a daze or a happy state that arises. We're aware. Or move the hands, for example, in a rhythmic pattern. We can get samadhi from that as well. If the mind holds its attention at the movement or the hand, then that's a focus. If the mind is holding focus at the hand, then this can make the mind peaceful, but we won't be able to achieve wisdom. So there are two main groups of samadhi. One is a group that doesn't have mindfulness. One is a group that has mindfulness. Right? So a lot of people happy, oh, enjoying, this is nice. Right? What's happening is there's all kinds of craving and liking going on. It's like a drug. These are people addicted to samadhi. These type of people are usually more irritable and angry people. Because they're bottling their true feelings. Other people get really stressed during meditation. They're just holding themselves together. Some people, they sit and then their neck hurts and their back hurts and their jaw hurts. That's because they're stressing too much. There's actually anger that's coming in and not seeing the anger. Some people are scattered or busy minds and then they just become interested of what's outside themselves. Maybe even do soul travel or astral travel, you know, interested in this and interested in that, not interested in themselves. This is a mind caught in delusion. So pretty much there's the type where there's defilements and there's the type where there's mindfulness. And in the type where there's mindfulness, we can be mindful of one object in particular for some focus and for some peace and concentration. That's usually all that Westerners can do, is that ability. Just still and holding to an object. And not just Westerners, actually. Thai people are mostly stuck in that type of meditation. Actually, now that I think of it, it's not even really the type that has mindfulness. For Thai people, often they're just not having mindfulness in their meditation at all. So there's two types of good meditation, or samadhi. One is correctly staying with an object for a break. We have to find what object we feel really happy with, that we like to be with, and then we come back and be with it often. And it has to be an object that doesn't tempt the defilements. Like, for example, gambling. Some people are very focused when they're gambling, right? They're happy, but the mind is greedy. It encourages the defilements to come up. It's not a good type of meditation, not a good type of concentration. Like, or we're playing the stock market. It's not a good type of concentration, because then our stock goes down and we feel awful, right? So we're not going to benefit from those types of concentration exercises. It has to be an object that doesn't tempt the defilements to take over. Like, for example, Budo, or knowing the breath, seeing the body breathing out, seeing the body breathing in. There's nothing that tempts the defilements there. But watching somebody else will create temptation or craving in the heart, but watching ourselves won't, right? If we're watching somebody else, we can feel, oh, we don't like that person, or we look at someone else, ooh, beautiful, and we like that. So if we're looking to do the first type of samadhi that is the correct way, we have to pick an object that we really like and are happy with. Lungpa practiced this since he was 7 years old. Lungpa Li from Wat Asokaram Temple in taught him over 50 years ago how to breathe and relax and practice this first type of correct meditation. His mind really liked the breath. He would watch his breath. And when the mind is really happy and satisfied with the object, then it'll stay with the object. And we'll get some peace. It's sort of like picking the favorite dessert of a kid. What dessert does your kid like? You bring your kid the dessert. If the kid is being naughty and running around outside in the street, you want the kid to behave. You buy the kid's favorite dessert. The kid will run in and sit there nice and quiet and nice and still and eat its dessert until it's gone. Our mind is very similar. We find something that's wholesome, but something that it really likes to be with, and it'll stay. The mind is always running around looking for something to be happy with. It runs around looking for happiness. Maybe, oh, I'll listen to music, I'll watch TV, talk to my friends. The mind is always out all day long, running around looking for different ways and things that can make it happy, but it never is full, it's never satiated. It's always moving around trying to get something else and something else. It's not really happy at all. And so therefore, it moves out to this and out to that to try and get happy. But if we like Budo, or we like the breath, then let's be with it and be aware with it. Breathing out, being aware of it. Breathing in, being aware of it. The mind won't move out from there if the mind is happy and satisfied there. Soon the breath will get more and more shallow until it's just at the tip of the nose and then turns into bright light. The mind will have beautiful samadhi, bright. When the mind is light and bright, then you can keep practicing If we lose our mindfulness, we end up following the light and seeing ghosts and angels and whatever, seeing the past, seeing the future, following the light. But if we have mindfulness, the mind will be more and more peaceful. It'll have contemplation and be clearly perceiving this light with joy and happiness and one-pointedness. The mind will enter jhana. We go deep enough in the jhanas, the body disappears and all that's left is the mind. The whole world is gone, but there's still awareness, there's still mindfulness. Even when there's no body, just the mind. Sounds hard, but actually it's not that hard. It's just knowing what object makes us happy and knowing it in a relaxed, comfortable way, not picking an object and then trying to force the mind to stay with the object. We won't be peaceful that way. Let's pick an object that is a happy one, and then let's watch it in a relaxed and happy way. Right? So, a happy object for us with a happy disposition towards it. You got happy plus happy. It gets really happy. Actually, it's happiness that is the cause of that causes us to concentrate. It's not our concentration that makes us happy. We usually have that flipped. We have to be happy, and then we enter deeper states of concentration or samatha. It's actually written in scriptures about what type of demeanor or disposition you have, what would be the best object for you in general. It won't work for everyone, but it's in general, there is some advice about what object to pick based on what general type of personality type you are. He's telling a story about different mantras that people have used. Just giving examples of mantras that didn't work for a particular monk until he finally found one that would, to make him peaceful for samatha practice. There was once a monk that, newly ordained, and his teacher, Lumpa Phut, told him to budo, budo, budo. And so this monk did that. And after a little while, the mind would think of his girlfriend from before he was a monk. And he wanted to go back to his girlfriend. When he was with his girlfriend, he wanted to ordain. And then when he ordains, he wants to be back with his girlfriend. So Lumpa Phut, his teacher, said, Just use your girlfriend's name as your mantra instead of Buddha. So pretend your name is Shampoo. You just say Shampoo, Shampoo, Shampoo. Yeah. So he thought, oh no, this is sinful to do that. His teacher said, yeah, but your heart likes it. It likes her, it likes the name. So just use it. He said, okay, I'll give it a try. So he used his girlfriend's name as his mantra, and he was so happy. Yeah, and it worked. His mind entered deep concentration. But I don't know if he ended up disrobing from monkhood. So we have to pick an object that makes us happy, and we have to see that object in a relaxed way. That's the secret to, without having to spend any money, that's the secret to learning how to practice samatha correctly. Usually I don't allow novice monks here. He doesn't like having novice monks here because some of them are scared in the dark and scared at night. They want to come and sleep with Lungpa, scared of ghosts and whatever. But this, I believe one of these, the monk at the back is a novice monk, and he said, but this one he let ordain with him because he's able to practice samatha. He's a good novice. He watched the breath until there was light, and then watched the light until the body disappeared, and all that was left was mind. No loss of mindfulness, but no body. So what happens if we get to that stage? Well, in that moment, we get happiness and peace. We have a tool to feel peaceful when we need it. And we get one other prize from this experience where the body disappears for a while, because when it comes back, it's very clear that the body and mind are separate aggregates, and you get to keep that forever. You have that understanding. See, it's not that hard to do these great states of meditation. I was able to do it since I was 7, Lungpa says. But actually, it's harder for people, for adults, than it is for kids who practice, because we have so much craving and so much desire as adults that we sit there and we're like, okay, let's get peaceful, you know, let's really hoping to be peaceful. And so it won't be peaceful. The mind won't get peaceful. But kids, they hear, breathe. Breathe out and know you're breathing. Breathe in and know you're breathing. So they're not, kids not thinking, well, how do I do this? What should I get out of it? They just do it. They're just practicing to practice, or because they were told to. They're not trying to get anything out of it. So it's easier for them than it is for us adults that just want results. Yeah, and then people will argue with me, but if I'm not wanting or craving, then why would I even come and listen to the Dhamma in the first place? And they start debating. And then so that's all you get. You get debates. The old, when you're old, it's very hard. But if you're already old when you first listen, well, you got to practice anyway. You know, you don't have much of a choice. You're old. There's nothing I can do about that. Once there was a man that ordained, that worked for Thai Airways. And he said, will you smile for me? And he smiled. He goes, oh, that's a Thai Airways smile. That's not a real smile. It's just the face moving. There's nothing going on in the heart with that smile. He says, can you see that your heart isn't happy? He's like, no, heart isn't happy at all. He was just a professional smiler, that's all. Or like, Lungpa says, when I watch movies, it was so boring to watch movies because you can see they're crying in a dramatic scene, and you look at their hearts laughing, and it's like they're not feeling it at all; they're just pretending. You can see other people's minds. It isn't terribly fun to watch movies and watch actors. Just the mouth smiling, but the body isn't, the heart isn't happy. So a true smile is smiling from the heart. Let's try it. Nice, sweet, beautiful smile coming from the heart. Can you see when you laugh that you relax, your heart relaxes out, right? If you smile in a very natural way, then the heart will relax out of any stress or any control. So let's smile when we practice meditation. If you're stressed, don't even think about, if you're stressed about trying to be peaceful, don't even think about getting peaceful. Some people on Makabucha light a candle and chant to themselves all day long. But let's light the candles outside our home so we don't burn it down. But the heart can be happy celebrating and chanting and lighting the candle. Nice wholesome thing to do. However, if we light a candle and we're doing a ceremony and we start thinking of ghosts and things, then don't do it. It's not something that makes us happy and relaxed. We won't get any peace out of it. Any of us like feeding fish in a pond? If we like doing something like that, let's do it. But then let's be aware when we're feeding the fish. We don't stop there, though. We see the heart that gets happy. Or some of us like to help others, give charity, or volunteer. Sometimes we're at home and our mind is too scattered, we can't concentrate. Let's think of some of the nice things that we've done to get started. Think about what it feels like to do a nice, generous act, a donation, or feed fish by a pond. So we take that happy heart towards the meditation practice. So if we're going to practice meditation to get the correct type of samatha, the first type of samadhi, then we have to know what makes us feel nice, content, and happy. And we have to have the right happy attitude towards that object. Moggallana, the great disciple of the Buddha, could enter samadhi extremely quickly. In just a split second, he could enter samadhi, exit samadhi on command. Say, as fast as a snake bite, he can enter and exit samadhi. Let's give that a try. He also had apinya, the psychic powers available in the jhanas as well, could arrive at an instant for him. So practicing meditation, if we have the right principles, if we know the secret, then it isn't a hard thing to do. We just make sure that we stay mindful while we do it. So that's the first type of samadhi, and there are some Westerners that know how to do that, but the second type of samadhi, Westerners don't know about. It's a stability of mind. a stable observer. It doesn't mean still. So in order for this stability to arise, we need to have mindfulness that sees the mind that isn't stable. The mind that isn't stable is the mind that's moving around, moving out to think, moving to hear, moving to see. So when the mind moves to think, we know so. When the mind moves to hear, we know so. So we could choose Buddho, if we like, and then we're thinking the word Buddho, and then we start to think of something else. We can know that the mind went to think, to see something else, to think about something else. We can know so, and then, or we could do similarly with the breath. Breathing, and the mind moves out to think, and we know so. The mind moves in towards the breath, and we know so. The mind gets lost in something else, we know so. So we don't get fooled by the mind that gets lost in other things, we're able to see it, do so. If we keep practicing, even if we're not intending to, the mind will start to see the mind that moves out all by itself. The mind will precisely remember what it looks like when the mind moves out, and then we'll see it often. The mind moves and we know so, the mind moves and we know so, again and again is what'll happen. As the mind really remembers what that state looks like, and so it'll see it all by itself without any intention. And when that mindfulness arises, the mind won't move and will automatically have Ganika Samadhi, which is momentary samadhi, a momentary stable observer. The mind moves out again, then we know again. Moves out again, we know again. Just for a moment at a time, we have a separate observer. And in some people who practice like this, occasionally the mind just dips in to a higher state of samatha as well, for a moment or two. So we just change our perspective. Here, when we have a home base for the mind, we're not with it to be peaceful with it or to stay with it, but we're there to see the mind that moves out instead. The mind will then become the steps, an awakened mind, a stable observer that's able to see the impermanence and the changing of mental and physical phenomena. It'll be able to walk the path of wisdom. In order to gain wisdom into the truth, the mind has to be this second type of samadhi. It has to be this stable observer. If we're just holding attention somewhere, we won't gain wisdom at that time. So this is the type of samadhi we need, the stable observer to gain wisdom into the truth. We'll see things arising and falling. Most types of samadhi that people do aren't there for wisdom. So it's usually either meditation that's just for peace, or meditation or types of samadhi that are just to be even stupider than before. So we have to get to know the two correct types of samadhi. One is samatha for peace, and one is for walking the path of wisdom. If we keep seeing the mind moving out again and again, the mind will become the stable observer on its own and be able to practice wisdom. There are a lot of schools out there that call themselves vipassana, but they're just holding attention in different places, like for example holding at the rising and falling of the abdomen. The mind slides down to the abdomen, isn't the stable observer. Or some people just think, this is impermanent, that's impermanent, and things like that. Thinking isn't wisdom. The only way that we're going to be able to become enlightened beings is by understanding this second type of samadhi. When the mind has a lot of power to it, we can walk the path of wisdom. When the mind loses its power, then we can build up power by practicing samatha in the correct way. So let's not resist what happens to the heart and mind and become mindful. Time to eat.